Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Yes, 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 it's that time again, people. It's that time again. It's FSP Crew Show time. Hello, I'm your host, JT, and along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, we welcome you to the FSP Crew Show. We have a jam-packed show in store for you tonight. We're going to be talking about some the free report that's got to pertain to Sandusky. Some of the news about Team USA, some little controversial, and one of their key players getting hurt. We're also going to be talking about the one of the big, and literally big divas of the NBA, and we're going to be talking about him. And like I said, the Dream Team of 2012 has laid it down to the 1992. We're going to talk to Dream Team. We're going to be talking about that. Also, maybe Drew Brees will jump in there and different things. So, like I said, we always engage in conversation, give you information about the crazy world, wacky world, controversial world of fantasy sports and politics. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll tell you that again. If you don't remember it, 347-637-3220. Chat room's open. Bring it on. If you'd like to just bring it in the chat room, we can respond to that on air, whatever you like. Without further ado, I got two co-hosts waiting for me to stop ranting and bring them in. So I'm going to bring in the guy from Jersey, who happens to be Jeff the Joker, and then Black the Bookie from D.C. Welcome, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Hello, Black. Everybody, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, sir. I can listen to you ramble on all day. Makes my job easier. But welcome people to the show as well. Everybody, welcome.
Yes. First of all, it's been a, and I'm being sarcastic when I say this, it's been a slow news day today.
It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been. I've been arguing with fools all day about this Dream Team nonsense, calling the guys.
Right. Before we get into that, I got to talk about the former FBI director Louis Freeh report. He must have not gotten much sleep over the last several months, because he had about 430 interviews that took place, including several members of the university, including athletes, members of the coaching staff, and the board of trustees. He had about 3.5 million documents and emails that was researched, and all this, it came to the conclusion that we all knew before, that from Joe Paterno on up, they all knew what was going on, and they decided to try to suppress it. Now, I'm going to play a clip before you guys happen to respond to this. It's about 2 minutes. It's Louis Freeh talking about some of the things that took place. And I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but listen to this clip, and then I'll get your comments after.
Our most saddening and sobering finding is the total disregard for the safety and welfare of Sandusky's child victims by the most senior leaders at Penn State. The most powerful men at Penn State failed to take any steps for 14 years to protect the children who Sandusky victimized. Mr. Spanier, Schultz, Paterno, and Curley never demonstrated through actions or words, any concern for the safety and well-being of Sandusky's victims until after Sandusky's arrest.
Some of the findings from the free report, Joe Paterno and the others show callous, shocking disregard for the victims involved in the sex abuse scandal involving Sandusky. Evidence shows Paterno, Spanier, who was the then president of Penn State, Schultz, a VP, and Curley, the athletic director, knew of the 1998 investigation. In 1998, Paterno failed to take any action. Free saying Penn State concealed critical facts to avoid consequences of bad publicity. Much more on Free, on the four men who chose to keep things in-house instead of addressing it to authorities.
The stated reasons by Mr. Spanier, Schultz, Paterno, and Curley for not taking action to identify the victim and for not reporting Sandusky to the police for child welfare are: 1. Nobody told them it was sexual conduct. 2. Sandusky should be treated humanely. And 3. Somebody else would handle it. Taking into account the available witness statements and evidence, it is more reasonable to conclude that in order to avoid the consequences of bad publicity, the most powerful leaders at Penn State University, Mr. Spanier, Schultz, Paterno, and Curley, repeatedly concealed facts relating to Sandusky's child abuse from the authorities, the Board of Trustees, the Penn State community, and the public at large. Although concern to treat the child abuser humanely was expressly stated, no such sentiments were ever expressed by them to Sandusky's victims.
All right. I'll go to Jeff first with the comments and then Black.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this. This is just confirming pretty much what everybody already thought, that there was a massive cover up and conspiracy, and there's no excuse. And you know, sometimes, I mean, you know, as I grow older, I think I have better judgment, and you think some of these guys might have realized. I think it was former President Clinton said, it's not the screw up that brings you down, it's the cover up. And,
right.
and believe me, he was able to survive a lot of scandals. And believe me, anything he did wrong was nothing compared to Jerry Sandusky. But, you know, you have all these guys, you know, the big executives at Penn State. And, you know, if they would have handled this the right way, they could have handled the bad publicity. They, you know, they would have survived it. But now, because of this, it's 10 times as bad. And the most important thing is that they you know, these were horrible crimes. This wasn't just somebody paying off an athlete, cheating on a test, or
right.
getting free tattoos or stupid stuff. This is disgusting, serious criminal stuff. And, you know, it reminds me of these guys, these executives. You know, everybody wants to be the boss, but nobody wants to be the cost to be the boss. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And... You know, you see it at your job, you know, all the big supervisors, they're all, you know, they all take care of each other. They're, you know, they don't like rubbing elbows with the rest of us peons. But part of the price of being the boss is you got to make the tough decisions and you got to deal with this kind of stuff. And these guys did not want to deal with it because they're worried about bad publicity. Well, screw them. Then, you know, get a different job. Pick up a mop or something. Make yourself useful, you know. And believe me, I've had supervisors like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's nauseating, and I really hope the NCAA gives them the death penalty, you know, because the NCAA has rules about washing your jock, you know. But, you know, I don't think the thing is they might not get the death penalty because they don't have rules about this type of stuff. But you know what? Laws supersede rules, so... I don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to see Penn State football get the death penalty, and because that would really teach a lesson. But they're not going to listen to me. But you never know; they might get it. I doubt it, though. No.
Black.
I can't believe for one minute that none of these guys had the audacity to even ask to go to the police and step forward, all for the sake of the school. If you're a parent, you understand where I'm coming from right now. I can't believe when Joe Paul has kids, I'm sure most of these guys had kids, and they never thought about their own kids in the situation. They saw what happened, they let it go on, all for the sake of the school. It's absolutely ridiculous. I agree with Jeff. I hope they do get the death penalty. These guys knew about this since 1998, and no one had the balls to step to the authorities and say anything. And they just let it get bigger and bigger and bigger. And this second mile, this whole second mile thing was a sham to begin with from the beginning. It was a sham, and it's just unbelievable to me. That for the sake of a school, you're protecting a school over an innocent child. How ludicrous does that sound?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, check this out. Supposedly, the first incident of this, which I think there's probably been some before that, but supposedly the first incident happened in 1998. And Jerry Sandusky, as you guys know, was probably one of the best defensive coaches in the country, working for Joe Paterno. Jerry Sandusky retired from coaching at Penn State in 1999, but he requested a retirement plan that included an extra $20,000 yearly annuity along with his pension. He wanted to remain a part of Penn State athletics in some way so he could continue to work with young people, and that's according to this report. The former president, Graham Spanier, had given Sandusky a payment of $168,000, a sum the university had never before given to a retired employee. Ex-athletic director Tim Curley also received authorization to rehire Sandusky as an emergency hire during the 1999 season. Along with the large lump of cash, Sandusky was awarded emeritus rank, which allowed for special privileges, including access to the campus and locker rooms on the university east area. Now, I heard this earlier on with Stephen A. and on his show on ESPN Radio that, and I think it was Jeremy Schapp who said it or whoever, or maybe Stephen A. said it, that Sandusky retired from coaching in 1999. He never got another football job after that. No one went after him after that. To hire him from any other school. I think they, along with this guy, whoever said it on the program, they were keeping him under wraps within their confines of the university. So this story had no way of getting out, so he wouldn't go to another program and perpetuate what he had been doing at Penn State, and it come back to bite Penn State. This is a huge cover-up of epic proportion. No other university that we know of has ever done this, and I agree with you, Jeff. This university should get the death penalty, absolutely get the death penalty. I've been hearing things like because this wasn't football-related. Well, the football program kept this under wraps, and it had to do with the university, but it was part of the football program. So it did have to do with football because they wanted to save their reputation, be able to recruit, be able to get donations from key individuals. So they kept this all under wraps. I agree with you, Jeff. They should definitely get the death penalty.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get the Jeff penalty. I'd like to put all these jerks on the hot seat, you know.
Hey, you know what sticks out to me is that the alumni that funded the second mile, multiple guys were in on it too. So I would expect to see more charges down the line with some guys, some names that we haven't heard of yet, especially these alumni. Most of those guys were down with what Sandusky was doing.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you guys heard the remarks that Matt Millen had said about this. But he had said something that He more or less, in my opinion, when I listened to it, and I can't say it verbatim, but he more or less was saying that it wasn't really Joe Pa's fault. He had people that were over him, people that were like the president, like the athletic director, and whoever. But Matt, and this is what I'm saying, Joe Pa was bigger than us. For the simple reason, when they came to him in, I think it was 2001, 2004, sometime when they went, when the president of the university went to Joe Pa's house asking him to step down, he threw him out of his house. Now, what football coach has that much balls and that much power that he can throw a president of the university out and still keep his job? So even though, and from what I understand, it's in his report that supposedly the president and the athletic director and whoever else was in name over Joe Paterno wanted to get this out, press charges against Sandusky. Supposedly in this report it says that Joe Paterno said he wanted to keep it under wraps. He didn't want it to get out. So even though
you wanted to keep a kid getting molested under wraps. Do you even know how that sounds?
Hey, Black. No. A kid getting raped. Call it what it is. I mean, this is the worst kind of abuse. I don't like getting into the details because it's disgusting. This isn't a molester. This is a rapist. A rapist of children.
Right.
Disgusting. No excuse, no tolerance, and it's total cover-up, total conspiracy, and I don't know how these people live with themselves, you know, because you know what, no matter how important you think you are, you still got to look at yourself in the mirror. You still got to live with yourself. You still got to wake up in the morning with yourself. And a lot of guys, I guess, they had no problem living with themselves, covering up for this kind of animal. I don't get it. I could see one or two people, but it's like half the state of Pennsylvania was in on this crap. Should be ashamed of themselves.
And the sad thing about this, there's two things here. I don't know if you guys know it, but Joe Paterno's son, before this report came out, was on the Today Show. And I didn't see it. I heard part of it. I don't know if this was. I'm pretty sure this was pretty much a facade or a PR saving move that he welcomed the truth coming out, which I don't really believe that. Because the fact is, this is a scathing report about his father and how he, because of all the power that Joe Paterno had, kept this squashed for 14 years. 14 years. That's unheard of. That's unbelievable that something like that could happen and keep, as much as media people snoop around and get the information age is a buzz for at least a decade. 14 years that's been sitting festering until it explodes now. So I don't know.
I don't know what type of guy McQuarrie is, man. If I'm in that locker room seeing Sandusky doing that, I'm taking Sandusky's head off.
Yep.
And then I'm going to the authorities.
Yep.
I don't care who's the higher-ups, the president. I'm going to the authorities the minute I see that after I destroy this guy.
I don't know if this had anything to do with it or just a coincidence. At the time, McQuarrie was a grad assistant, and then shortly after what he saw got covered up, he got promoted from grad assistant to regular assistant. You know, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh hell no, that's a coincidence. You reap what you sow. You do things like this, and that's one of the things I close every Sunday with. Be careful how you treat people. What comes around, what goes around comes around. You can't step over or step over situations and people to get ahead, because sooner or later it's going to burn you in the end. And if that's the case, Jeff, and I'm not disputing it, then he's just as much as fault as anyone else, for the simple fact is he benefited from seeing a horrific event and taking advantage of the circumstances. So that, I can't excuse that. If that's the case, I can't excuse that. That's I wouldn't say he's just as culpable, but he's not too far behind if he let it go until it was out in the open, and he had to come in and say, "Well, I raised my hand. I saw something that happened."
And you noticed, though, I think he was put on administrative leave. That I don't think he'll ever get another coaching job at a major school. And I wouldn't want to hire his pathetic butt. And you look at Paterno's son, Jay. I don't think he'll get another job at a major school. And you know, how did he get his job? Obviously his name. Now, I noticed his son, Jay, who was on his staff, was on ESPN today. Not his other son, Scott, the one who weighs about 500 pounds. That guy's kept alive by a machine. It's called the refrigerator.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because his son Scott was kind of like the unofficial spokesman for the Paterno family back in the fall. But now, I guess now that, you know, Jay Paterno is out of a job, now he's speaking up for the dad. And, you know, I mean, I know it's his dad, but, I don't know. This guy should just shut his hole and know his role, you know. But I guess he feels compelled to speak up for his father. And, Paterno's biggest supporters, Phil Knight from Nike, is taking Paterno's name off a building.
Yes.
And that's big news. That's
real huge.
Because believe me, you know, Knight was one of the ones who went on the record speaking up for Paterno. He spoke up Paterno's funeral. But,
right.
You know, money talks. And I've always disliked Nike, and I used to cringe every time I saw that Nike swoosh on the Penn State uniforms. I cringe because the Penn State, they wouldn't even put your last name on the back of your uniform, because they say, oh, it's traditional. Well, that Nike swoosh doesn't look very traditional to me. But that's the bottom line. Money talks, unfortunately. And what they, you know, you put on a Penn State jersey, Nike's more important than your father's name. That's what I thought every time I saw that jersey on TV. And I was right, you know?
Yep. Well, let me. I have a quote that Matt Millen said. Matt Millen went so far as to say Paterno's legacy shouldn't be tarnished, saying he made a mistake. Does that discount all the positives he did over 50 years? I mean, this is the type of mistake that tarnishes your name forever. The person that was the great Joe Pa had a dark secret that he was covering up. Not that he did it, but he might as well have done it, because he perpetuated it for 14 years. So, yeah, it tarnishes your name, Matt. It definitely tarnishes Joe Pa's name. It amazes me how these guys can be so loyal and discount what actually did happen, because this guy happened to be a great football coach. But that doesn't discount what he allowed to happen, and kept under wraps, and the thing about it, that now Joe Paterno's office was where his office was. Sandusky's office was right next to Joe Pa's. It was right next to him. Whatever office he had when he was a coach, He never lost that office. He had the same office, which was adjacent or right next to Joe Paterno's. So you can't tell me that that his name shouldn't be tarnished because the fact is all the circumstances that happened since 1998 up until the present. Anyway, we've been on it for a while, and I want to jump off of it because there's some other news I want to talk about. let's move this way, okay? Let's go to the Dream Team, because Black had talked about it a little bit off the air. The Dream Team, Kobe, Chris Paul, and LeBron James, and I don't know why they even decided to go into this, but I guess they were feeling themselves at the time. And decided to answer the question by somebody who posed it in the media about the 2012 Dream Team. How would they compare to the all-time supposed Dream Team of 1992 with 11 Hall of Famers? How would you guys fare on that? I got a clip on the response from Kobe, Chris Paul, and LeBron James. Let's listen to this, and I'll come back, and we'll talk about it.
The 1992 Dream Team featuring Jordan, Bird, and Magic against the 2012 Olympic team with Kobe, LeBron, and Durant. Kobe Bryant said he thinks this team could beat the Dream Team.
Well, we could. We could. You know, it would be a tough matchup, to say the least. I mean, you're dealing with all-time greats. I mean, the thing that we have at our advantage is most of the guys that we have on this team are in their prime, and myself, you know, I'm be going on 17 years in the league, but I'm still 33 years of age.
Well, like, I'm a little bit biased. I'm a little biased because I'm a part of this team, but I definitely like our chances.
You know, they said I was the best team ever assembled, so we had a lot of challenges.
Players on the 2012 team said they think they'd have a little bit of an edge.
Maybe our speed, we got a lot of quick guys, but it'll be a good one.
We're deep. We got a lot of scoring. We got a lot of defenders, and I love to see that game.
As for matchups,
I'd obviously take MJ, and LeBron, I actually take Magic, and, you know, we just fall on down the line from there.
I guess I'm going to be on Stockton, huh? You know what I mean? We'll probably try to get some shorts on him that actually fits.
There's no question guys on the 2012 Olympic team are confident that they could beat the Dream Team, but they also told us they're sure guys on the Dream Team would disagree.
Of course. I mean, you know, it's not... You know, you're not going to get a concession from either team. I mean, that's just not what's going to happen.
And they said they'd blow us out, too, by the way. You know, it's just how they are.
The bigger question comes in, what happens if, you know, Bird, Magic, and those guys are in their prime like we are? Then, you know, then that becomes a bit of a different conversation.
Head coach Mike Krzyzewski was an assistant on the 92 Dream Team and put the debate in perspective.
92, there were guys who were at the end of their careers, you know, I mean, Larry had a hard time because of that. John Stockton was hurt. Magic had been out a year. You know, in their prime, all those guys together, there would be no team ever like that.
Kobe thinks that this version would beat the 92 Dream Team.
So he said yesterday.
Here's what Michael Jordan had to say about that. Told the Associated Press, I absolutely laughed when hearing Bryant's comment. I imagine he's trying to say it. Kobe thinks that this version would be.
Okay. I didn't get the whole clip, but you got to understand that Jordan thought that, come on, man. No way that you were going to come close to beating him. I got some numbers that came off the AccuScore. I don't know if anybody has seen these stats. Comparing to the 1992 team with the 2012 team. With the 10,000 scenarios, I guess they would have, they had the 1992 team almost 54% of the time winning. Points per game, they had the 1992 only scoring 1 point more than the 2012 team. And the field goal percentage, they had the 1992 almost 49% compared to 45% to the 2012 team. And also, I think when they ran the scores, even though the average scores were so close, I think they had the 1992 Dream Team winning about like 8 points. Your guys' response, I'll go to Black first and then Jeff.
Did they run the rings through on that set? Because LeBron just got a ring and Kobe got his five. What about the rest of those cats?
Yeah, what can I tell you, Black?
The mental makeup of the 92 team and the mental makeup of the 2012 team, incomparable. The 92 team would not turn the ball over like the 2012 team does. I don't even know why this is a debate. The guys are just so disrespectful. You learn from the 92 Dream Team what you're doing right now, 2012 team. This shouldn't be a debate. Yeah, some matchups here, some matchups there, but at the end of the day, 92 is going to get it done.
Okay. Jeff?
I don't know if someone brought this up to Kobe. I mean, if you know, he's in a bad spot. He's supposed to be confident. You know, he can't say, oh, no, we couldn't touch the original Dream Team. But those simulations, I wonder if they take into account that, and it's so silly because it's not going to happen. The original Dream Team, or the only Dream Team, if they were playing the 2012 Olympic team, the original Dream Team would dominate the paint because there's only one true center on the current team, Tyson Chandler. Blake Griffin hurt his knee. He's out. And Unibrow got added to the team. He wasn't even born in 92.
Right.
No, I'm serious. He wasn't even born. I'm not nagging a guy. But, right. Unibrow, you know, he's still growing into a 6'10 frame. He had a late growth spurt. But there's only one legitimate big man on the current team, Tyson Chandler. And the Dream Team had Patrick Ewing and David Robinson.
Right.
Plus, at power forward, they had the mailman, Karl Malone. I wonder when they make these simulations if they take that into account. And, stuff like this should just be casual conversation and not taken seriously. Because what's the point? It's silly, you know?
I want to see what this 2012 team does. I know they play Puerto Rico tonight. I'll be in attendance Monday when they take on Brazil. I want to see how they run through this tournament because I remember my 92 Dream Team beat their opponents by 43 points per game. So let's see what this 2012 Dream Team does.
Right. See if they realize it's not as easy as it may seem. I got a feeling that they may get a rude awakening at some point early in the in their play that get a better appreciation of what the 1992 Dream Team was able to accomplish. Speaking of the Dream Team of 2012, Blake Griffin, I think it was that who's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks?
Mark Cuban
said that he wasn't a fan of these players not playing for money because for the simple reason that this year.
Blake Griffin twisted his knee during a scrimmage yesterday. He is on his way back to Los Angeles for an MRI. Anthony Davis, an alternate, has been told to report to Las Vegas immediately for Team USA training camp. For more, we welcome in ESPN basketball analyst Rick Duker. All right, how worried should the Clippers be about this injury?
Extremely. We haven't identified which knee it is at this point, but obviously he misses his entire rookie year because of a knee injury. He just did sign a $95 million contract, and if it was something minor, they would – look, it's the national team. They've got doctors and trainers there. This obviously, I'm told at least preliminarily, it's not something dramatic. but it's a big enough concern that they are flying him back to L.A. to check it out. That means it's not a minor injury.
This on the heels of some NBA owners, namely Mark Cuban, worrying about sending players to the Olympics for free.
Let me, on the heels of that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but on the heels of that, let me go through what I received in the mail from the USA Basketball Association from Las Vegas, Nevada. After completing a full practice yesterday, USA Basketball Men's National Team member Blake Griffin reported that he was experiencing discomfort in his left knee. Griffin flew back to Los Angeles today for further evaluation and will miss the evening's USA versus Dominican Republic exhibition game. If this is the same knee that he had surgery on, oh boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he left, and just like the announcer was saying, that they have doctors there. And if it maybe felt or looked like it was serious enough that he had to fly back to his own set of doctors along with the team doctors and to take a look at what happened. That's not good, especially when you got almost $100 million tied up in this guy when you just signed him. And isn't that the case? And it doesn't happen all the time, but you see this time and time again. You get an athlete, and it doesn't make a difference what sport it is. This happens to be basketball. He signs a big contract, and all of a sudden, he gets an injury of something like this that may jeopardize his performance. Jeff, your comments.
You know, I don't know what to add to it. It is a risk, but you know the thing is, a lot of these guys, if they weren't playing with the Olympic team, they'd be playing some kind of summer ball. And I think Kobe actually brought up the point, talking about playing with the Olympic team, that it's probably better than playing in other summer leagues because you don't have to worry about some no-name trying to make a name for himself and taking you out. So, but this, you know, there's, it's not like football, but still it's a sport and there's always the risk of injury. And, you know, this is an injury that caused Blake Griffin his entire rookie year. Hopefully it's just a minor setback. I still don't know if that justifies paying these guys. And the thing is, these guys are so rich. What are they going to pay him to make it worth their while? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? I mean, for a guy like LeBron, no exaggeration, $1 million is pocket change. You know what I mean? If the guy, you know, physically doesn't feel like it, mentally doesn't feel like it, how much money would it take to sway him? I just don't think it's necessary, but whatever. I hope Blake Griffin is okay.
Well, that was my other question that you had answered. I was going to get Black's remark. On the tail end of that report, it was Mark Cuban having a hard time or not in favor of these guys playing for free. You heard what Jeff comments about it, Black. What do you think about it? And the other thing that I'll also pose to you guys is this. These guys, they're basketball players. They like playing it. They play it professionally. Some of these guys, or a lot of these guys, play it over the summer in these summer leagues, pro-am leagues or whatever you want to call them. And they take a risk when they get out on the court basically playing for free. You think that's a good idea or what happens if they get hurt? Should they be liable for not being able to fulfill the contract or what? I'm going to pull that to Black first and then to Jeff.
I think the economics out of it. I mean, this is the USA. This is the country that you live in. You get paid to play basketball anyway. I feel it's an honor to represent your country in the Olympics, which only happens once every 4 years. So I don't agree with Cuban that these guys should be paid, but there's a little tricky issue with that liability if you get hurt. That's something they will have to sort out, because if a guy just signed a $95 million contract goes and plays for his country and gets hurt, I mean, that's, I don't know what the situation is, how that could be resolved. That's something they have to work on, but I feel it's an honor that you should represent the country, and I don't think you should get paid to represent your country.
Okay, but the other part of that what I was saying was these guys play in these summer leagues, these pro-am leagues, like Kevin Durant plays in the Goodman League, and he goes around a country, I think. He plays in different leagues, make an appearance. Kevin
love
Durant.
Of the game. Love of the game, man. The love of the game.
Well, I understand that, but this is what I'm saying. They get these guys get paid millions of dollars to perform professionally for these pro basketball teams. And I'm just posing this question out there. They're playing basically for free, whatever expenses they have when they go back and forth to these different leagues is minimal. They get hurt, it can cost the franchise a championship. It could cost them a division championship. It could cost them a season if, like, Kevin Durant gets hurt. What is the recourse or ramifications? Say, like, and I don't wish any ill will on them, but a player like Kevin Durant or any other of these NBA players that get hurt that are big stars that are playing for basically free in these leagues, and they get hurt and it hurts their professional team. Do you think it would be some ramifications or some type of penalty or what? That's my question.
I don't think that you can bring a penalty on the league because most of these leagues are well-run leagues.
I'm not talking
about guys that are reckless and wild playing in these leagues. They're pros. They're not NBA pros, but they're semi-pros that play in these leagues.
Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Black. But what I'm saying is this: these guys playing in a free league. He's not getting paid professionally. He's definitely not getting paid by his team to play in these pro amateur leagues. He gets hurt. He gets a catastrophic knee injury or a leg injury or whatever. He can't play for a professional team when the professional season starts. Do you think or
well, they, the only way to ratify that is to write it into the contract.
Okay.
That's the only way to ratify that. If it's not in the contract, guys are going to do what they do in the summertime. They want to go down to their local Y and get a game in, go to the Goodman League or the Drew League in L.A., the Rucker League in New York, Hoops in the Sun. Guys are going to make appearances. Guys love to play basketball. It's a yearly thing for them. It keeps their game sharp. But if you want to cut that out, you will have to write that into their contract. There's no summer league for you. You play for our team, and that's it.
Jeff?
You know, maybe the answer isn't money as, you know, just some kind of payment. Maybe insurance. Insurance might be the answer. And I think that makes a lot more sense than giving what, for these guys, is literally a few dollars, you know, pocket money. Maybe they should have some kind of insurance. I mean, maybe, you know, it wouldn't be cheap, but it makes more sense than just paying them.
Okay. All right. Well, I try to avoid it as much as I can. We got about a little more than 15 minutes left in the show.
What are you trying to avoid? What's going on here?
Wait a minute. Before I go there, I want you to tell the people that are listening about the schedule or what's going on with Team America in the over the next several days.
Over the next several days, well, tonight they take on the Dominican Republic. So that'll be on ESPN in about 15 minutes. So you guys can go ahead and tune into that. But I'll let me go to my email here and see what I can run down for you. But I'm curious to see what you're trying to avoid while I look at this stuff. So maybe you can fill me in on what's really going on here that you're trying to avoid. But
there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on. I hate talking about this guy because I'm not a big fan of him. That's why I'm putting it near the end of the show.
Okay. Well, let me give you the rundown here. the national team coming July 14th to the 16th, my hometown, Washington, D.C. here. July 13th, there'll be no availability for these guys. It's a travel day. But July 14th, Saturday, the D.C. Armory, 2001 East Capitol Street, Southeast Washington, D.C., USA, will open up training camp from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the D.C. Armory. So they'll get practice there. On the 15th, which is the very next day, there'll be at George Washington University, Charles E. Smith Center, 600 22nd Street Northwest. Another training camp there, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Charles E. Smith Center at GW. And then on Monday, it's a doubleheader with Team USA, the women and the men. I believe the women's game is at 5:30 p.m. and the men's game is at 8 or 8:30 p.m. at the Verizon Center, home of the Washington Wizards, where Team USA will be taking on Brazil in both matchups.
Okay. We got a caller from the 202. I have a funny feeling I know who this is, but let's bring this person in and see who we got here.
Hello.
Caller from the 202. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Well, this is the one and only FSP, and you sound like you're dying on death's door. So it is what it is. I'm down the clown. It's
you are a clown. You're right about that.
Shut up, dude. What's up, Jake?
You really got to make sure that you screen these callers calling into the show, man.
I try my best.
I will pull the plug on the show. Y'all keep talking. I will do a what's my man name that we made fun of because he's winning?
Are you going to pull a Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen. I'm pulling Charlie Sheen on y'all. He's messing around with me.
Now, are you calling from the lovely city of San Francisco?
No. I'm calling you from Pleasanton, California, which is right outside of Dublin, California, which is also right outside of Oakland and San Francisco.
Well, you sound like you're from San Francisco right now, but... But I'm just saying.
You know what, old timer? Where's the voice of reasoning, Jeff? Where's the voice of reasoning, Jeff? Jeff's not on today?
Jeff's right here.
Yeah,
speak up, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I mean, yeah, you see how these two clowns are trying to clown me? It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry there, Vic. Is there something that you wanted to add to this conversation? This is who I'm about to talk about right now. So since okay. I got you on here, another voice to talk about the diva of the NBA. I'm talking about Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard.
Oh yeah, I don't really like this guy because he's got too many issues. I mean, in fact, you know what, Vic? I'm glad you joined me. I'm glad you joined us on the air here, for the simple fact. This Dwight Howard reminds me of you, Vic. It reminds me of you. You know why it reminds me of you? Because you are the because you and Dwight Howard are one of the same. You're always changing your mind, or you can't make your mind up.
When it comes to a trade, you're talking about when it comes to a trade.
When it comes to a trade.
You went around the building for that one, but I see what you're going. Now, look at y'all. He's referring to a fantasy baseball trade that we just consummated. Hopefully it gets ratified. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. But if you want to talk about Dwight Howard, here's my stance on him. Personally, I think he made some type of verbal agreement to go to the Nets. When he found out JB was involved with the team, and then when the Russian billionaire bought the team, you know, he was sweetening the pot, and he was like, well, yeah, I'm going to go there. Me and Darren are going to hold things down. Then they got Joe Johnson. But then, because the Magic didn't want to play ball the way the Nets wanted to do things, the Nets said, you know what, we'll get him in a year or two anyway. We'll go ahead and pay Lopez $60 million, and most of that can be put on somebody else when we trade him. And Dwight comes to us in a year or so. So they decided, okay, look, we'll give Lopez a 5-year contract. We're not giving Orlando Jack. We'll be a playoff team with Johnson and Williams together. We might not have the big, big push that I want, but I will be a playoff team. And Dwight can do what he wants. Now, Dwight Howard is in a bad situation now because teams know when he comes to them, he has no intention of staying or extending. Now, the method thing to me would be if he does get traded to the Lakers, is he then going to turn around and say, no, I don't want to play with the Lakers? I mean, the esteem that organization has, Kobe's on his last couple of years, so he can become the most dominant force. You still have Paul Gasol, and you would, right now you have Steve Nash, but at some point you get a decent point guard. So just to play with the Lakers would be a good thing. Also, Houston is in the mix and getting them. I can see him being a one-and-done in Houston. And the fact that Cleveland got involved is a little interesting to me as well. Is he going to go to LeBron's stomping ground and do what LeBron couldn't do, which is win a championship with Cleveland? Because you give him that big boy right there. They already got a decent set of point guards.
Cleveland didn't get in that to get Dwight Howard. Cleveland got in there to help the Nets. Cleveland got in there to help the Nets. They were the four
that
held the Nets out. That's why they were there. They weren't after Dwight. You know that Butler still has a grudge against LeBron.
Okay.
They were going to help the Nets. They were going to help the Nets out. But I don't see why the owner of Orlando is even letting himself be held hostage like this. The new guy came in, the new GM, made a plea to Dwight, and Dwight is still acting foolish. If I'm Orlando, I'm trading Dwight to the CBA for a year. You just come on back and do your thing. The Chinese Basketball Association. You come back to the States for the year, my friend.
Yeah, but from what I hear, that before Lopez signed the contract, the new GM, went made a personal call to Dwight to ask him or plead to him to reconsider. And Dwight said it ain't happening. And since that didn't take place and Dwight didn't change his mind, that's one of the reasons why the Nets said, well, we're out. We've had enough of this. We're signing our own player, and you guys are on your own.
I mean, I don't know what Orlando is sitting waiting on. They were offered 4 number one draft picks, along with Lopez and other guys, and turned that down. Orlando was going to get that deal from anybody else in the league.
They wanted to dump some other players on the Nets, too. I think Quentin Richardson and whatever else, they wanted to dump some other salary on the Nets, and the Nets weren't going to go for it.
I was going to say that since Jeff, you and Jeff are in that neighborhood, I mean, New Jersey area, you know, what's the ground level thing that you guys are hearing? Because we can speculate, oh, there's blacks over there in D.C., I'm here in California. But you guys on the ground level, what are you hearing from the local movement? Jeff?
Go ahead, Jeff.
You know what we're hearing about? We're hearing about the Knicks. That's what we're hearing about. Because, you know, there are Nets fans, but the Knicks are so much more popular.
Right.
And I think, and this is something that Jerry and I could speak on because, you know, with all due respect to D.C. and most areas, you don't have 2 teams in every major sport, and the New York area does, and a lot of people don't realize what that's like. And, you know, the Knicks are a number one. The Nets have always been a very distant 2.
Right.
By, you know, them with their recent moves to the, you know, the casual fan and the few neutral fans, it's going to get their interest. But the Knicks fans aren't jumping ship. And
nope.
Also, it's not just the fans. It's the media. And,
yeah.
You know, the Knicks, they play in Manhattan. That's the practically, well, if you listen to people from Manhattan, that's the capital of the world.
Right.
That's not the capital of America. That's the capital of the world. Midtown Manhattan is where they play. The Nets, you know, historically, where have they played? They played in New Jersey. Before that, they played all the way in Long Island. That isn't anywhere close to Manhattan.
Right.
And I mean, people in Manhattan, a lot of them don't even have cars because you don't need one in New York because the mass transit is pretty good, and they think they're so terrific they don't need to drive around Jersey or Long Island or whatever. And, you know, the thing is, when the Knicks were in the finals, because they haven't won the championship since the last time they did it, I was in diapers, I think. I mean, I don't remember that far back. When the Knicks were in the finals, it was all over the media. When the Nets were in the finals, it was like, oh, yeah, whatever, yeah. And that's, you know, that's the way it is. And the thing is, now they're moving to Brooklyn. It's in New York City, but still, it's not Manhattan. It's Brooklyn. And I'm still scratching my head about the name because now so many teams market regionally.
Right.
Why would somebody go with such a local name? But Brooklyn isn't even a city. It's a borough. I mean, it's larger than almost every city in America, but it's one of the five boroughs in New York. It doesn't make sense to me. But I'll tell you, we got a saying in North Jersey. We got a lot of sayings. And you don't realize this sometimes until you travel or you meet people from other places. And this is what I'd like to say to Dwight Howard and also to the GM of the Orlando Magic. Poop or get off the pot. Jerry, you probably heard that before. And the thing is,
absolutely.
Most of the time when a deal drags on for too long, it doesn't happen. And the Nets made a very generous offer for Dwight Howard. I guess they got tired, so they re-upped Brooke Lopez, who isn't bad, and now they can't include him in the trade. He was an important part of it. Oh, well, and maybe the Magic was looking, they were asking for too much, maybe. And I'm a conservative person in a lot of respects. That deal looked very generous to me. Orlando should have taken it. They might have blown it, you know?
Yeah. I agree. But, hey, Kim, I just wanted to call in, because I told you I was going to be on my boys' shows from now on. But you are the host, so I'm going to let you host and do what you do. But I'm excited to take over, you know.
Thanks, Mr. San Francisco. I appreciate that.
I'm Dwight Howard, remember?
Oh, well, yeah, that's
Howard.
Right.
Black is D.H. Shuttlesworth, and you are like Jeremy Shockey.
Okay. Speaking of the Saints, that's where I want to go to with about 2 minutes left in the show. I think we're probably going to go a little over because what I wanted to talk about, we're about 4 days away from the deadline for Drew Brees and the Saints working out a deal, a long-term deal. Drew Brees last night at the ESPYs, said that he was very confident the deal would get done by Monday. This is a quote he said, "I think I've been around this league long enough to understand how this works at times. In a lot of cases, it goes down to the wire, and you need to stop pointing in order to bring everyone together and make sure it can get done. The stopping point is Monday, so let's hope we get something done by then." Now, he's also stated that if he doesn't have a deal in place, he's not going to attend training camp until he gets one. Your thoughts on those comments I made and what may happen if a deal doesn't get done by Monday, starting with Jeff, Vic, and then Black.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Something's going on here. I got distracted. What were we saying?
I'm talking about Drew Brees and the possibility of him holding out in training camp if a deal doesn't get done by Monday.
Yeah, you know, I can't blame them. I mean, and the thing is, you know, the Saints have had so much negative happen this offseason. They need a little positive. And I don't blame Brees because he got screwed before when he was with San Diego when he got franchised. I hope they could work something out, but it's a business, so, you know.
Vic?
I think that Drew Brees is the heart and soul of New Orleans Saints. And this whole situation with Bounty Bowl or Bounty Gate or whatever, along with the holdout and stuff like that, is going to be the downfall of the new Orleans Saints this year. This is me speaking because of what's been going on. I think the Saints are probably going to be the last team in the NFC South this year, no matter what type of numbers Drew puts up this year. It's too much going on. I think Drew Brees should be in camp sign his tender because he already got the ruling in his favor. If they try to franchise him next year, they're going to have to pay him, I think, like $10 million more than they would have had to pay had he just given into his contract demands now, next year, and that's money that the Saints can't afford to give him next year. So get it done now. Get it out the way. Go to a 7-9 record, which I think they're going to get, and keep it moving. The Saints are – the city's rebuilding, but the team is folding, if that makes sense. But that's my thought process on it. You need to get it done. Stop dragging it out. And sign Breeze before they sign anybody else. That's the
Black. Thing. Black.
You need to stop disrespecting the franchise player. Get him signed. Get him whatever he wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that being said, I want to thank all three of my my compatriots here, Vic, Black, and Jeff, definitely Jeff, my Jersey guy, for joining in tonight. We'll be back same time, same bat station on 8 o'clock on Thursday next week. Tune in tomorrow, round two on No Chaser. At 7 p.m. with me and Mac and whoever else is going to join the fray. We're going to be talking about the, for lack of a better term, and I don't like it, but I'll say it, Obamacare, with Mac and other policies that Mac and I disagree on the current administration. And that's at 7 o'clock, like I said, Eastern Standard Time. And then we roll into Saturday with the FSP show, hosted by none other than Vic Gardner, a.k.a. Mr. San Francisco, at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Broadcasting live from China.
Oh, you know what? I got y'all, for real.
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an hour and a half show. We got a lot of things to cover. We're going to be talking about the AFC East and the AFC West.
South in your mouth.
Yes, AFC East and AFC South to finish off the AFC. And on the master plan is on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You never know what I'm going to say. You never know what subject in. Vic, archives is like off the charts if you look at it.
I know.
It's off the charts. I don't know what's going on.
I know.
But it's okay. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's an hour show. Tune into that. I'm going. That's what I'm going to say. Fantasy football people, I'm going to be talking about running backs. This is the middle of July. Fantasy football is going to start be gearing up very soon. I'm talking about running backs first off.
As soon as you said that, I heard two names come out in your voice. Jamal Charles and Tywan Lawson.
Well, we'll see what we have to say about that. But for those who like,
can I say something real quick, Jerry?
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, the master plan this Sunday is very important because Jerry, if it's one thing Jerry knows, it's running backs. I will say this: he knows running backs. Ricky knows receivers. If he's giving you advice on running backs, listen. It's something he's pretty good at. That's a good eye for the halfback. So I just want to put that out there.
Okay, so what I'm saying is I'm gonna be talking about what I like to talk about. And these guys all know that my favorite thing is running backs, and I like to talk about them. And I'll be starting off fantasy football with talking about my running backs. So tune in 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where it's going to be at.
Let me apologize to both hosts right now. I will not be available for either show. I'll be at USA practice, so I'll catch you guys on Thursday.
Okay. Well, you can always listen to the archives and make sure you get some good interviews. We can play them on Thursday night if you want.
No problem.
Okay.
All right.
With that being said, before I close this show out with our theme song, is there anything that anybody wants to say before we're out of here?
Of course. Go Nationals.
Okay.
I got something, Tip. I'm going to let Jeff go first.
Jeff?
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next week.
Chick? I've got this real simple thing to say. I appreciate all you guys and what you do. tomorrow, there's no holds barred. There's no holds barred. That's all I'm saying. Y'all need to call in, listen in, and let your voice be heard because, you know, my cousin had a show about abuse as far as, you know, a father had beat the crap out of his son, really, because the son called his mother a B.
The B word, yeah.
Yeah, the B word. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to introduce some part of that conversation to this debate that we're going to have because I really think, you know, it's prevalent because how do we charge this kid? How do we look at this kid? How do we look at the father? What do we do to the father? You know, under the current administration, you know, certain things could happen. Under a new administration, this would be considered, like, really, really, really bad, bad things for him. I just want to bring that topic up and get down with Matt. I see Black is starting to form. I got to pull him back over to the either the rent's too damn high or liberal because he's comporting
Let me tell you something. I don't like either one of these candidates. So I'm looking for McMillan, and I'm trying to get him into this 2012 race.
All right.
Okay. With that being said, Vic, just like you asked me on your show, I'm going to ask you on my show. What do we go do from here?
For all of us, Advancing Sports and Politics crew show, that will be Jerry, Jeff, Black, and myself, of course, because Jerry's geriatric and slow as hell. You've been listening to...
Yeah, it's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.